Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation is written for us in St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 3, beginning in the 19th verse. And I invite you to stand for the word of our Lord. Now we know that whatever the law says is addressed to those who are under the law, so that every mouth will be silenced and the whole world will be subject to God's judgment. For this reason, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by works of the law. For through the law we become aware of sin. But now, completely apart from the law, a righteousness from God has been made known. The law and the prophets testify to it. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all and over all who believe. In fact, there is no difference, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God publicly displayed as the atonement seat through faith in His blood. God did this to demonstrate His justice, since in His divine restraint, He had left the sins that were committed earlier unpunished. He did this to demonstrate His justice at the present time, so that He would be both just and the one who justifies the person who has faith in Jesus. What happens to boasting then? It has been eliminated. By what principle? By the principle of works? No, but by the principle of faith. For we conclude that a person is justified by faith without the works of the law. So far our text, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we have once again gathered in your house to hear your holy word. We pray that you would speak to us through it, dispel our doubts and fears, and reassure us that Jesus is our Savior from sin. Pour out your Spirit upon us and make us ever more confident that through His life and His innocent death, we are justified, we are declared righteous in your sight. Increase our faith that we would live with this confidence all our days until we finally see it with our own eyes. Sanctify us then by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. In Jesus the Christ, dear fellow redeemed, in settings like this, where we're looking at Reformation history and Reformation doctrine, so forth, it's very easy for me to go down an academic rabbit hole. I'm building a timeline in my head of all the important dates, trying to keep it straight in my head, all the important people, what they said, what they shouldn't have said, all the arguments used against and for certain things. And it can be a nightmare to try and keep all of that straight in our head. Can be a real challenge. And at times, it makes me lose sight of what it was all for. In our academic pursuits of understanding the Reformation more deeply, we can't lose sight of the central article. We have to keep the center at the center. And that central article, the article on which the church stands or falls, is justification by grace alone, through faith in Jesus Christ alone. If my analysis of the Book of Concord is correct, The text before us today is used most to support that central article. When it comes to justification by faith alone, Romans 3 is where the reformers went primarily. And so as we're considering once again the fruits of the Reformation, it is very fitting that we come back to the center and keep our eyes fixed on what is most important. Faith in Jesus Christ justifies. So under that theme, there's two questions that I want to try and answer this evening. The first is, why can't works justify? Paul really addresses at least part of the answer to that in our text, where he says, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law or by works of the law. So there he just lays it out. The law cannot justify us. It cannot make us righteous before God. But why? He goes on in verse 23 and he says, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Okay. So the law cannot justify us, cannot make us righteous before God, because we're unable to keep the law. Okay. I'm going to date myself a little bit now, but when I was in high school, my grandparents lived across the road from the high school, and many days of the week, I would go and be at grandma's right after school. My granddad loved to watch a show called Maxwell Smart, Get Smart. I think there's a modern movie about it, but I haven't seen it. But I don't remember much about that show. I'd watch it with granddad. But there was one saying that I remember that Maxwell Smart would always say. He was a bumbling idiot of a spy. He was a parody. And he would say, I miss by that much. And sometimes we approach God's law that way. I miss by that much. I almost made it. And we think that that may be good enough. But Maxwell Smart always missed. So let me put it another way. Let's say the task was to jump from right here up to the organ bench. Now, me, I'd probably trickle over the edge. Maybe you could jump halfway down the aisle. Maybe there's some athletic superstar here that could reach even the camera on the back there. But we wouldn't consider anyone able to be able to make that jump. And as far as we can jump, what good would it do if we were arguing amongst ourselves about who made it further? That'd be like being in the bottom of the pit, arguing about who came closest to making it over. The reality is we're all in the bottom of the pit. We're supposed to be up there. We're down here. And that's what Paul means at the beginning of our text when he says that every mouth may be silenced. Because of our sin, because of our failure to make that perfect jump, we're all in the bottom of the pit. So the law cannot justify us because we're unable to keep it. But there's another deeper understanding of why the law cannot justify us. Often we view bad deeds as negative and good deeds as positive, right? And so the idea is, if I do enough good deeds, I'll be able to offset my bad deeds. But how does the law read? What does it say? Jesus summarized it as loving God with your entire being and loving your neighbor as yourself, right? So God in those commandments forbids us from hating God and forbids us from hating our neighbor, which we would say are bad deeds. And so this idea that if I avoid my bad deeds, I'm somehow neutral toward God. But the commandment doesn't say, don't hate God. It says, love God. Anytime I'm not loving God with my entire being, I'm sinning. I'm falling short. Anytime I don't love my neighbor as myself, I'm also falling short. And so the law is unable to provide a path for us to be righteous before God in the sense of making up for our sins. Because when we're doing our very best, at best, we are simply doing what God requires of us. Now the devil and our own flesh want to turn us inward and look at ourselves, force us to look at ourselves as a reason for our salvation. The devil wants us to look at our sins and say, they're not that bad. And for us to look at our good works and say, hey, that's good. That's pretty good. Surely God's got to love you for that. The devil and our flesh want to turn us in so we make ourselves our Savior. But that's not what God's Word reveals. There is no difference because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Paul continues on and are justified freely by His grace. So now we get to that second question. How can a perfectly just God justify, declare righteous sinners? And the second part of our text makes that the focal point. That God wants to be just and the one who justifies. How is that possible? How can God look at you and me and say, righteous? Doesn't God know you inside and out? So how can God do this? He does it by looking at someone else. Our text is clear how redemption and righteousness come. And it's apart from the law. And it's from God. And it's through Jesus. Jesus came and lived a perfect life to earn the righteousness that we need before God. So if we go back to our jumping analogy, Jesus made the perfect leap. What was impossible for us, Jesus did. But He doesn't stand on the organ seat and say, that's how you do it. Just jump like me and you'll make it too. No, Jesus made that jump for you. He perfectly obeyed the commandments in your place, fulfilling all of the law's demands, so that you now have a righteousness from God apart from the law, a righteousness that is by faith. But our text also talks about redemption and blood. It wasn't just enough that Jesus live a perfect life for us. Our sins had to be dealt with by the justice of God. And that's what Jesus was doing on the cross. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree.
So Jesus died. Jesus died in payment for your sins and mine, so that now you are redeemed. I don't care who you are. It doesn't matter. All are in this condition. Just as we are all in the pit, all have been justified through Jesus. Whether you believe it or not, I can tell you with 100% certainty that your sins are paid for. God raised Jesus from the dead so that you can know that that is true. Jesus' resurrection is proof that he has won a righteousness and a redemption for you in God's sight. So how do we receive this? We believe it. We take God at his word and trust his promises. We hold on to them as surely as they are true. And when our conscience rises up and accuses us, when Satan torments us with our past guilt, we cling to faith in Jesus Christ alone, justified. May the spirit of the Reformation then continue among us. As we continue to study the characters and the teachings of the Reformation and grow in our appreciation for the sacrifice and work of these people. But let's keep the central thing. Faith in Jesus Christ alone, justified. To God be the glory, now and forever.